as someone that is new to investing, this is a very helpful platform to help me grow my knowledge. Keep up the good work.
Awesome podcast. Very informative. I love this podcast.
It's the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You podcast, a production of the Jamaica Stock Exchange in partnership with Hennika Watkins Porter of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. Join us every Monday at 6 a.m. for a new episode. Your path to understanding wealth starts now.
It is the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You podcast, and I am your host, Hennika Watkins Porter. If you are an investor, whether new or seasoned, then you know what was and still is on the lips of everyone else. It's all about dollar, right? The IPO, which was oversubscribed by 950%, raised the total of 4.762 billion Jamaican dollars and attracted 14,981 shareholders, to be exact. With their latest branch opened in Portmore, we anticipate even greater things from them. Today, we are in for a treat as Kadeen Mears, Chief Executive Officer of Dollar Financial Services, will take us through access to capital for micro and small business owners. Welcome, welcome, Kadeen.
Thanks for having me, Hennika. It's so good to be here.
Finally, it has happened to me. Yeah. All right. Okay. So it has been a long time coming, and you're here now, and we are grateful. Thank you so much. I know that life, you know, in your world can be very hectic. How are you?
I'm good. It's always about, you know, growing the business, protecting your mental health at the same time. So things have been good so far. You know, the IPO was a success. I think we're like 3 months in now being a listed company. We put out our first second quarter results, and you know, we're just focusing on growth right now.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can't help but recognize, as somebody who lives in Portmore, recognize that there's a new branch over here.
Yes, there is.
Yes. So we're looking for great things from that. And we've been seeing a lot in the media too. I don't know how much you can comment about, you know, the intended acquisition of another microfinance institution.
Well, I can always comment on it. It's public knowledge that our strategy is to grow through acquisition and organic growth. So organic growth would be like us entering into Portmore now, where we go there, we open a branch, and we organically, you know, build our customer base and grow our loan portfolio. And we also grow organically regionally, like what we did in Guyana, where we went down to Guyana, open up a branch, apply for a money lending license, you know, build out our team. So that's kind of like one strategy. Now, the second strategy is through acquisition. So, you know, once there are existing loan companies and they have a sizable loan book, and it doesn't even have to be sizable. Once they have a good clientele, they could also have a good brand, then we would want to target those for acquisition. So I guess you saw a little bit of that in the media recently. With our intentions to acquire another listed company. But it's definitely a strategy for us, and definitely we're trying to see if we can, you know, complete at least one acquisition by now and the end of the year.
Right. So good loan book is one of those criteria, right? But in terms of, so what else, you know, maybe somebody is operating a firm right now and thinking, could I be a candidate? You know, what exactly are you looking for in addition to that?
So definitely what we look for is how can this company blend in with Dollar and, you know, give some form of synergy with Dollar. Now, what builds up a company is the people, you know, the brand, the product or services. So for us, a company can have a small loan book, but they have excellent people, and we'll acquire that company just so that we can acquire the people. because the company, the people will help us to drive the growth.
Absolutely.
And also not have a big team or the talent is few. However, their loan book they have a good loan book, and this can also become a target for us. So it's all about how the synergies will work. What can we consolidate during an acquisition? How we can cut some costs and drive growth?
All right, because at the end of the day, it's about the bottom line, right?
All right, about the profitability.
Absolutely. Now, as an entrepreneur for several years, over a decade, I know from where I sit that one of the biggest challenges entrepreneurs face is that of having access to capital. And that is where a dollar comes in. So for those that are somewhat underbanked, you know, why did you decide that, you know, dollar decide that, you know, I'm going to really focus on these, on this market, focus on getting them from point A to point B? Why was that important for dollar?
I mean, dollar, it's just like dollar started just like any other business, as a micro business, as a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every other business, what we needed the most to grow was access to capital. So we understand the need for capital firsthand and the importance of capital firsthand. As you can see, we're doing a bond raise now. We're trying to raise $1 billion up to $1.5 billion. So we're trying to tap the capital markets now so that we can access some debt, so that we can continue to grow the loan book. Now, this is strategic for us and necessary at the same time. And so it is also necessary for small businesses to have access to capital. Not everybody can put out a bond to raise money or a list on the stock exchange to raise money. So what dollar has created is a different avenue for people to access capital. As you said, the non-traditional or the unbankable people are the people who cannot, who can't access traditional banking services. Dollar provides that avenue for them to go and borrow money to grow their business. So if they have a distribution business, you know, they buy and sell, and they want to increase their inventory, but they don't have the capital, but they have the demand, they can come to dollar and they can always access 100,000 Jamaican, 2 million Jamaican, 5 million Jamaican dollars to buy inventory so that they can, you know, mark that up and sell, make a profit, service their debt, and just continue that path to growth for their company. Because this is the access to capital is a backbone for every economy, every entrepreneur, every country. Even countries borrow, just like Jamaica borrow to build a highway. You know, that's how you grow if you don't have the cash in the bank or the money up front. You know, credit is the way that you drive growth.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, like many other, like, let me not assume and let me not, you know, preempt anything. So who are your main targets?
So our loan portfolio at dollar is very different from, you know, most of our competitors who focus on I'd say they focus on people who are in a 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
You know, salary deducted loans, etc. But 70% of our loan book is actually money that we lend to micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs. So much of our loan book, our most of our clients are actually business people who come in to borrow to actually fund cash. You know, they need cash flow, working capital for their business.
Right. So in terms of collateral, like for those who may not have, you know, they don't have money in the bank to collateralize a loan, or they don't have certain assets, what are some of the things that you, you know, accept as collateral?
So I mean, you know, what we do is we do risk-based lending. So mm-hmm. the interest rate is going to be based on the risk. So if you have no collateral, you're higher risk, you're going to pay a higher interest rate. It's just a premium that you pay for more risk, right? If you have a business and you have a motor vehicle, you can use that motor vehicle, obviously, to access some equity in the vehicle to put in the business. If you don't have any property or motor vehicle, we start looking at unorthodox or non-traditional assets. So we might say to you, you know, you're selling, you're a farmer, and you have animals on your farm. You have cows, you have red pole cows, or and you have some equipment, farming equipment or so. And we look at your projections and we say that you just need to increase your stock because, you know, you have a big hotel that you're supplying. We get your contracts. We see the contracts from the hotel. You just need to increase your supply to the hotel, and you just need a cash injection of, say, $1 million Jamaican dollars. You can come to us. You have no motor vehicle or traditional assets. We can look at what you have on your farm, and we can decide, okay, we're going to take a risk with this entrepreneur. We're going to take biological assets. We're gonna say, okay, look, we're holding on to the animals as collateral, and that little tractor that you have. All of these combined probably value $5-10 million, and you just need $1 million. That's a we look at that as a good risk to take, because not only are we helping the community, but, you know, at the same time, we're still making a viable business for a dollar itself. Those are the different ways. Of course, we also give unsecured loans, but that's based on your track record and your credit worthiness. So what we do with smaller entrepreneurs is we'll start them with smaller loan amounts unsecured. So we're not going to start a person unsecured at $1 million. We'll probably start them at 30,000. And they service that loan well, and we step them up to 50 and they reach 100. At some point, we'll be comfortable loaning that person 500,000 because they would have been borrowing from us for the last 2 years and they've serviced their debt on time. So that's another method of us evaluating, you know, secured versus unsecured lending to entrepreneurs.
Right. And what kind of interest rates are we talking about for various loans? I know... Perhaps it varies, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. It varies. Obviously, we're not a commercial bank because we actually borrow money to unlend. So like the bond, which is publicly known, no, we're doing a bond. We're paying 10% per year for that money that we're borrowing. So when we borrow it and we unlend it, we probably unlend it at 20% so that we make a premium on it to cover whatever cost associated with lending that money. And of course, you know, put a margin on it so that we ensure that it's a profitable business for dollar as well. So, you know, interest rates can range from anywhere from 20-25% per annum. It can go as high as 40-48% per annum, depending on the risk.
Right, of course, because the higher the risk, then the naturally the higher the rates.
Correct.
So in terms of There's something I noticed based on what you're saying. You know, you're observing, and you know, if somebody's coming to you on more than one occasion to get a loan, then clearly you would have established, you know, a relationship. So what kind of importance does relationship building play in this business that you're operating?
Relationship, I personally think that relationship is one of the most important. You know, when I just started lending from the days of the bank, I used to work at a credit union, I used to work at a commercial bank until I started my own lending company. You know, we have what we call the five C's of credit, you know, capacity, capital, collateral, condition, and most importantly, character. A person might come in that don't have, the capital or the collateral, or the condition or the business environment might be risky, but this person has good character. So we know that at the end of the day, this person has the integrity, they have the drive, they have the perseverance, and we believe that this person, through their character, will be willing to push through and follow through with whatever business plan that they would have presented. So for us, character is very important, and I think that, I mean, me personally, I put most of the weight of a loan on character. Because a business can go, you know, left or right. They said that probably 9 out of 10 startups fail. So we know that once you're lending money to a business, there's a risk. But we also know that if the person is of good character, when they bounce back, they will ensure that they, you know, they stand by their obligation. So for me, character is very important.
In terms of defaulting, Kadeen, what kind of percentage are you seeing?
You know, the industry standard, I'd say, is between 10 and 15% for microfinance, because we're in a more risky space. For Dollar Financial, currently, our delinquency is around 5%.
Wow.
So market standard, we manage our delinquency extremely well. And as I'd said this attributes mostly from relationships with our clients, open, right, having the conversation with the customers.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, like, for everything, and I've noticed this, you know, firsthand, like, relationships are everything. Just having conversations, building, finding out, you know, what's happening with person. And I've heard you spoken on other platforms before, you sharing how much, you know, finding out what really going on in their lives, you know,
right,
they're much more than alone, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I mentioned that before, and it's a fact, right? So I mean, persons might come to us thinking that they want alone, and when we sit with them, we say, I'm alone.
It's a cause of them.
Yeah, you know. So, and likewise, based on the conversations that we have with our clients, when we first interact with them throughout the process of the loan, at the end of the day, they find it easier to pick up the phone to call to say, hey, look, you know, the freezer at the business broke down and we have some, you know, losses because of spoilage and we're going to need some time to bounce back. And mm-hmm. they find it easier to pick up the phone and call because, you know, we have fostered that kind of relationship when we're lending.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now I want to shift a little and go look at the other locations, because I know you're in Guyana. What other location is Dollar in right now or about to get in?
Currently, we're in Guyana and we're in Jamaica in terms of countries. We're exploring okay. other territories that we will announce soon.
Okay.
You know, most jurisdictions, you know, you have to go through a process just like Jamaica now, apply for a money lending license.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're in our due diligence phases and talking to our attorneys regarding other jurisdictions in CARICOM and in the Caribbean. So that's what we're kind of focusing on from a high level. In terms of locally, as you mentioned before, Portmore is the latest branch. And we actually are looking at opening another branch sometime soon in Centan, Ocho Rios side. That's kind of like what our focus is right now in terms of location and where we see the brand being until the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really great news to hear. And I want to say personally, congratulations to you, Kadine, and your team, you know, for accomplishing so much in such seemingly short time. You know, it's not to go unnoticed, and it has not gone unnoticed, obviously. So
no,
congrats.
No. I appreciate it.
All right. So I want to find out if there are, what if any, you know, similarities exist between the Jamaican and Guyanese markets as it relates to, you know, financing.
So fortunate for us, we were one of the first to market in terms of microfinance in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
There existed other companies similar to microfinance companies, but they were more of NGOs, which is more like nonprofit organization. So these NGOs are specific to certain types of businesses or certain demographic, and they don't give a more wholesome approach to lending, and there's a lot more red tape, right? So fortunately, when we went into
Hold on, did you say a lot more red tape in Guyana?
Yeah, a lot more red tape with NGOs in general.
NGOs, okay.
Because to access this capital, which is normally way cheaper, sometimes even interest-free, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of criteria to be met for entrepreneurs to access this. It's not just coming in and borrowing to grow your business.
Okay.
So fortunate for us, we were one of the first microfinance companies in Guyana. So when we tapped that market, we really got a lot of traction. Like literally, there was a line at the office when we opened, you know. So we're just capitalizing on that, you know, that the more Dollar becomes a success in Guyana, the more competition will arise. But we will continue to pivot and continue to scale and diversify our offerings to ensure that we still remain relevant and continue to increase the bottom line.
And blaze the trail as you go along.
Yeah. And culturally, fortunately, Guyana was a lot like Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And they love Jamaican people. So they were very receptive when Dollar, as a Jamaican company, entered their market. And we've been just getting the support nonstop operating down there.
All right. So there's a microfinance act for Jamaica now, is there? Or there's one being put together?
Yes, there's an act. It was passed, and BOJ had accepted all the applications. One of our competitors was the first to recently get their microlending license. Mm-hmm. I think they're the first. I haven't heard anybody else getting theirs, but we are in communication with BOJ. They have written to us to say, hey, look, they have a lot of applications. We've received yours. You are fine to continue lending, you know, as soon as we complete our process, you know, we'll issue the license. So it's just, you know, it's something new for the BOJ as well as the regulator, because it's a new industry, it's a new act. They're building out an entire department. So we're actually being patient as well with the regulators until they, you know, they figured out everything.
Okay, so let's go back to Guyana a bit. Does an act exist in that market?
Correct. There is an act, and there is, you have to have a license to operate. So we had gotten our license years before we actually first opened our location. So we have a money lending license in Guyana. But their act was in place for years, long time before. It's more like going in, applying, and submitting the relevant documentation, going through the process, and if they decide to approve it, they issue the license. Versus Jamaica now, which we're just at that stage. They've gotten like hundreds of applications at once.
I know you're not a lawyer, but is there any pointed difference that you could identify between both acts, or you know, one prospective, as in the case of Jamaica?
No, I think that they're very similar. I think the purpose of, you know, regulating the sector is mostly to protect the consumers, ensure that lenders are being transparent. There's no they're not abusing, they're not being onerous on the customers, and ensuring that there's transparency in terms of rates, in terms of what is required, and you know, I think it's from that approach that it's being regulated, and once that is being done, I think that it becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's a win-win for everybody. You know, when you have a benchmark, right, to go by, systemize everything. Got it.
Yeah, and it works for the microfinance companies as well, because it gives us more authority when we're regulated and we have a money lending license versus being unregulated. It seems more informal.
Right, so, like a partition.
Yeah, so you get more respect now that you have a license, you're under a regulatory body, you know. There's a lot of oversight, there's corporate governance, there's structure. So that actually works for companies who are entering into that direction, or companies that prefer to operate like that.
Absolutely. Quite understood. All right. So as we're about to wrap our conversation, Kadeen, is there anything that you'd want to say to your investors or just the persons listening to this podcast?
From an investor standpoint, you know, I just love to see the continued support of Dollar Financial. I mean, the new and existing shareholders, they continue to support the stock. I mean, when we listed at $1. I'm not one to check my stock price.
Right. Yeah, I'm saying, do you know what it is right now?
Yeah. I think today our stock price is, let me see if I can look at it right.
Well,
now.
By the time this airs, it's going to be totally different.
I hope so. But definitely the support has been the tremendous support. We had like 14,000 shareholders when we listed, which was more shareholders. So it's just been great. You know, our stock price is over $3. So since we've listed basically under 4 months, we've increased share value by over 200%.
Yeah, that is great. That is fantastic.
Yeah. And when we listed the company, our market cap was 2.5 billion. Our market cap now is like 7.8 billion. It shows the growth. We will continue to perform, putting out great results, great profitability, communicate that to our shareholders. So to the investors and shareholders, just want to say thanks to the continued support. Thanks for owning a part of Dollar Financial. Dollar Financial is your brand as much as it is my brand. And in terms of your listeners, you know, whether you're, you know, an entrepreneur or you're in a 9-to-5, you know, principle still applies. Just keep pushing, stay motivated, stay driven, set high standards for yourself, for your career, for your goal, for your business, for your family. And that's what I'd like to pass on to your listeners.
Well said. And how may they reach Dollar, or if they want to touch base with you?
Dollar Financial's website is dollarfinancial.com. You can visit the website. You can access, we have an investor part of the page where you can access our financial statements to see our performance, etc. In terms of reaching me or following me, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm more active on Instagram, and I'm probably secondarily Twitter. So it's my name, Kadeen Mears. You can follow me there on Instagram and on Twitter, and also on LinkedIn. I use my actual name for everything, so it's not hard to find. So that's how you can contact Dollar Financial or follow us on social media as well, Dollar Financial Services.
Awesome sauce. Kadeen Mears, Chief Executive Officer of Dollar Financial Services. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks, Henika. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to being a part of the podcast again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, it was a pleasure talking with you. And I really do look forward to having a conversation again.
No problem.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Jamaica Stock Exchange and You, a podcast of the Jamaica Stock Exchange. The Jamaica Stock Exchange and You was brought to you by QMUX Wealth Management, making more possible. What I'm taking away is the fact that Dollar Financial Services wants to grow two ways, organically and by acquisition. And we are watching the space to see how the acquisition is going to go. We can see, you know, the organic growth happening with the expansions locally, as well as there is, you know, there's Dollar Financial in Guyana. And we're looking to see where it's going to go next, what territory is going to take up next, right? So we're really wishing for them all the best, praying for them, you know, all the best, and that they will continue to grow and to have success and more success, right? What's your standout moment? What would you like to say? Send us your feedback at podcast@jamstockx.com or on social media at jamstockx. In the meantime, follow this podcast on your favorite podcast app. The Jamaica Stock Exchange and You is produced by Henika Wolke-Sporter of the Entrepreneurial You podcast. And now, TV show. You can find out more at henikawatkisporter.com to hear leadership and entrepreneurship lessons from guests like Zachary Harding, Les Brown, Richard Branson, Dr. Marcia Forbes, Seth Godin, Dr. Marlene Sreepars. I'm out of breath. And a whole lot more. We are like 280 something episodes in. You can find me on social media at Henika Wolke-Sporter as well. And that's all for now. See you next week. Remember, as Warren Buffett says, rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, don't forget. Rule number one, do take care.